this week on the Time Bat Show.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I think I would choose the finger.
I knew you would choose the finger.
That was perfect.
God, all right, let's do it.
So I can't believe Skype isn't working for me.
It was terrible. Okay.
So, sorry I took so long. I was going to say, like, I texted you, like, I'll be on Skype in a second. And then, like, 10 minutes later, I show up, right? And it's because I got in a fight with my trash can, which I thought was going to be the opening story I was going to say on the show, but... Since we just had like 10 minutes of problems on Skype,
I can't do it.
That's okay. I want to hear the story about your trash can. That sounds really funny.
I'll get to that in a second. First off, Skype is not working at all for me. So I log in. I try to hit the call you button. And it's like, your connection is too weak. So I sign out. I sign back in. And Skype, in its infinite wisdom, forgets all of... my login credentials. So I have to make a new account for no reason.
And then you texted me and you were like, my name's John Bugenhagen. And I'm like, what is going on? I found John Bugenhagen on Skype and then Skype made me send this weird face.
It's because I thought that... Hold on. I'm explaining what's going on.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. So Skype kicks me out and I have to log back in. So I try one of my email addresses thinking that it'll just log me back into my normal account. And then it's like, sorry, you need to provide us with your name, your first and last name before we can continue. And I'm like, why? I've never had to do this before. And I'm like, I don't want to give my Skype my first and last name, so I just typed the first thing I could think of, which is John Bugenhagen. And then I only realized,
John and then the grandpa from Final Fantasy VII.
And then only later do I realize that I just created a new Skype account, actually, because the email I used was like a different email. So then I tried to log back in, but of course... we'll use my other email, the one that actually works. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, your password is wrong. Like, you haven't updated in 90 days or something. And so then I took, like, 5 minutes to find a password. And, I don't want to tell people my password, but I don't care. I was so frustrated at this point. I tried my old password. Didn't work. I tried my old password with a 2 and an exclamation mark. Didn't work. Tried another couple passwords because it was like, oh, this is a password that you've already used in the past, right? Then I try a completely new password. I try our Twitter password that I'm not going to say on the show, but like, you know, our Twitter account password?
Yeah, it's really long and complicated.
It's really long. I type that. I'm like, well, this will work. Hit enter. And it's like, sorry, you've used that password before. I was like, what?
How?
I don't know. And so I get so frustrated, I type in John Bugenhagen is God, and I hit enter, and that's my new Skype password.
Well, people are free to hack you, I guess.
I don't care. I don't care. They don't know my email.
Oh, true.
Oh, God. How are you today, Vatex? I'm having a great day. I'm having a terrible day.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's not terrible. It's just, I don't know. It's one of those days. Do you ever have days where you think to yourself in the middle of the day, like, wow, this is quite a day?
Yeah, like the day is only half over and it's already been quite a day.
It's already been a day. I feel like that's how my day has gone. But anyway, back to the trash can story. I go to take my trash, well, bring my trash in, okay? And I wheel it back into my driveway, and I realize I have a full, you know, trash bag inside, so I'm like, oh, I might as well take it out while I'm wheeling it in. So I go inside, and I take my trash bag into the trash can. And my trash can, like the one the city gives you, you know, the yeah. people are really rough on it. And it has all these, like, cracks in it and stuff. And, like, the top of it is, like, has, like, a rip in it. I don't know how to describe it. Like, the plastic has, like, ripped off part of it.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a big gash in the side of my city municipal trash can. And so I throw the trash bag into the trash can, and it gets caught on the rip. And I'm like, oh, God.
God.
And so I, like, yank it to try to get it off, and it explodes everywhere. And so I have to spend, like, 5-10 minutes cleaning up all this trash on my driveway. Because that's, you know, that's just the kind of day I'm having. And then I go back to Skype, and obviously that's not working. And, you know, so here we are at this juncture, and I'm a little frustrated. I'm so frustrated that I was like, let's not even prep for the show. I just want to do it. Let's go. Go, go, go.
Let's just do it. Let's just get it over with. I can imagine you out in your front yard and the trash bag rips and there's trash everywhere. And I know there's like kids that live in your cul-de-sac, and I can just see them like watching you being like, God damn it, this stupid trash can. You're like throwing trash everywhere.
I feel like our listeners know this already, but I have like a, not a bad temper, but like when I get over the edge, I, like, go nuts. Like, I go really, I get really mad. And a lot of people that think I'm a very normal, like, chill kind of guy, which I am most of the time, they're really surprised when this happens to me. And, yeah, I could totally imagine children being like, oh, it's the normal, it's the chill guy. And then all of a sudden I'm like, bah, trash can, bah, 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 bah. Anyway, we have a great show for you today. It's episode, I don't even know, episode 130, I think, actually.
I think it's 31.
31, no. I thought we were going to have a milestone for a second there. But we don't. I haven't even opened the show notes yet. Like, I'm so bad today. I haven't even done anything at all.
Well, you know. I actually have some trivia ready for you, so.
How did you pretty even, good trivia. How did you even do that?
I've had off this week, so I had.
Oh, you were, like got preparing.
Back. Yeah, I, like, got back to my place pretty early and found some cool questions.
So I want to break something up really quick. We're on Discord, not on Skype, because Skype has told me that my connection was quote-unquote not fast enough to host a Skype conversation today for whatever reason. Even though I'm having, like, I have, like, 50 megs down. I checked it. But we're on Discord, which means we have a live listener right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't see? Manassi is here. Listening to us live.
Oh, cool. Hello. Isn't that cool? I mean, we have a live studio audience. That's so exciting.
This is a moment, a precipice moment of our show. This is a first for our show. Remember how in the beginning we were like, you know, this would be cool if we could do this show live? Well, we can. We just have to invite everyone we know to jump into our Discord channel and mute themselves.
And agree.
They're not going to say anything while they're in our Discord channel. Isn't that a great idea?
It's a great idea. No, so the Discord audio is really weird, though. It cuts out, like, every 10th word you say, so it's going to be a great one.
See, we're just having such a good episode already this time. You're apparently having problems. Our listener says she can hear us completely fine. So I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna do, but I can hear you fine.
Let's just try to get through it.
You're just Discord is terrible. I don't even know what like topics. I didn't prepare anything for this episode at all. We talked about Wikipedia.
Well,
ramen. What were we gonna say? Sorry.
Well, so you're having a pretty rough week. I'm having a pretty good week.
Tell me about your week.
2 days.
Yeah, tell me about
I had off 2 days of work, and I went to the beach both days, and it was pretty cool.
Oh, we should talk about Florida, because this is a great topic, because you tweeted about your shark's teeth, and I was like, oh, that's a good haul, and a couple people were like, wow, did you find that all in a day? And you were like, I think it was like, you know, like, yeah, I did, or whatever. you know what I mean?
Yes. Sorry. It's cutting out like every other
really? Word. Is it that bad?
It's so weird. It's pretty bad.
Maybe I'll just do an episode by myself and I'll just take listener questions from our audience and you could just sit there and do nothing.
Just chill.
I'm just kidding. You should try to get on your phone on Discord and like hold it up to your ear while I'm talking to you? No, you shouldn't do that. That would be terrible.
Maybe it'll get better. We'll see how it goes.
We'll just keep going. But anyway, tell your shark Steve story. How many did you get?
I've gotten probably like 50 in the past 2 days. I've gotten a lot.
You're really good at that.
The first day I only had about 30 minutes, and then the second day today I was there for like 4 hours and like really dedicated some time to it.
Last time I was in town in Florida when I was visiting my parents and also you, I did a day of shark's teeth. I didn't get nearly as many as you. I probably got like 30, but I'm rusty. Like, I haven't done it in a while. You know, when I was a kid, I would do it all the time, but I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah. So you have to, I like it cause it's sort of like making a grilled cheese. Like, it's hard to make.
I don't understand this.
This will make sense. I promise. Okay. So like, if you want to make a really good grilled cheese, like the trick is to toast the bread really good, like really evenly. And in order to do that, you have to pay super close attention to when it's done toasting, right? In the pan.
Yes.
So you're like, you're in the moment. You're zen. That's like your whole focus of your world.
What does this have to do with shark's teeth?
It's the same thing for shark's teeth. When you're looking for shark's teeth, you have to focus really hard on the little tiny black shapes.
I've never focused that much on grilled cheese before.
Oh, well, maybe I'm weird.
No, but you're thinking about the grilled cheese. You're like,
you make that thought your whole focus. That's like your whole world. Like, I need to make sure the cheese is perfectly melted. I need to make sure the bread is, like, not burned,
but
not
too... Man, you must make a great grilled cheese sandwich, I have to say. Yeah. Like, I want a grilled cheese sandwich that you've made.
I'll make you one sometime.
Because next time I'm in town, screw the episode. I just want a grilled cheese. I just want you to make me a grilled cheese. And I also want to see you intently grill a grilled cheese, because that sounds like amusing.
I focus really hard on it.
Is this like your one thing that you have in your life that you focus intently on is just grilled cheese sandwiches?
And finding shark's teeth, I guess.
Those are the tool things. What if you had... Let me go down a path really quick, okay? What if somehow you were looking for sharks...
This is such a stupid comment.
Where are you going?
What if somehow you were looking for shark's teeth and toasting a grilled cheese sandwich at the same time?
You have like a George Foreman grill on the beach.
It's like that attached. Might work. It's like attached to your neck, like it's a portable grill. Like it's a truly portable grill. You know,
it wouldn't work, I think, because they're both activities, like I said, that you have to pay really close attention to. And I feel like you would just get a not very good grilled cheese sandwich, and you wouldn't find that many shark's teeth.
This sounds like a really good Japanese game show. You know? Like,
you have to see how many things you can do.
Grilling and teething. Grilling and shark... I don't know. It's not a good title. No, but whatever. They would have a good name for it.
I think it's actually a good concept. Maybe a reality cooking show. You know, in normal cooking shows, you get to spend all your focus on making your food. Well, in the new reality television cooking show, they could have surprises happen while you're cooking.
Oh!
They could let some animals into the kitchen, and you have to handle them.
And you're making grilled cheese, so you're like, oh, I got to really concentrate on this grill and this cheese.
At the same time, you have to solve a Sudoku puzzle, and you have to...
Our listener says that's a real show. It's called Cutthroat Kitchen. Is that true? I guess it is.
I've never seen that one. I think that's Alton Brown, though.
You've already... there are animals, though, but there are distractions. So ours would just be, like, one step further, right? It would just be the extreme version.
You gotta put it up a notch.
Yeah.
Like Japanese reality television.
I think the Japanese could do a better job, like a good job with a reality show. With you're on the beach, Cutthroat Kitchen Reloaded. That's a good title. You're on the beach, you're looking for shark's teeth, and you're grilling a cheese. You know, that could be like the first episode, right? It's like low stakes. But so you have two referees, one is a cook. The other is a shark's teeth expert, you know, and you're bringing them, you have like 10 minutes, Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, you're bringing them your grilled cheese and you're bringing them some shark's teeth. And they're both going to judge you independently on how good you did in both categories.
Yeah.
And your composite scores is what will qualify you for the next round.
Right, which is doing some other cooking with some other weird task at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Whatever is similarly focused to grilled cheese, I guess.
I mean, we could film this. George Foreman grills are not very expensive. We could go to Walmart and buy two.
You'd have to make it portable, right? So, like, that's the danger. It's portable. You can move it around, but you can't really attach it to your neck. So we'd have to come up with some kind of device where you, like, strap it on. It's like I don't know how to describe it.
You know those fishing harnesses where you put the fishing pole in it so you can drink beer while you're fishing?
Yes, yes.
Have you ever seen those? You put the grill in that.
That is good.
And you have to fish at the same time. Why not?
Because you're at the beach anyway.
Yeah.
I like how you also thought of some, like, Florida weird thing to do at the same time. So you're looking for shark's teeth. You got that, like, goofy old man fishing belt thing.
Yeah.
That has a George Foreman grill attached to it with a fishing pole. So you're looking for shark's teeth. You're fishing for a big fish. And you're cooking grilled cheese. And, yeah, those are your three kind of tasks that you need to do. And you got to cook multiple grilled cheese because you got to feed your whole family. Who's having a picnic at the beach at the same time.
And it's not, they don't make it easy on you. You got to bait your hook, tie the special knot. You got to put a shrimp on it or whatever.
And you have to wrestle a shrimp out of the...
you're like, Dad, I'm hungry. You're like, hold on. I'm cooking this grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah. You know, like, the bucket of bait that you have on the beach?
Yes.
You gotta get your bait out of there while you're cooking your grilled cheese. It's very dangerous.
Because you don't want them to touch, because that would be really bad. You gotta make sure it's sanitary somehow. Anyway, I mean, this is a good idea. Cutthroat Kitchen Reloaded or something like that. We have a listener question, our first one of the show. Thank you, because we don't have anything to talk about, so thank you so much for providing this. Listener question. Our listener question today is, do you guys put your shoes on by putting one shoe on and then lacing it, or putting both shoes on and then lacing them at the same time, like together or whatever? What do you do?
I do both and then lace.
You put one shoe on, put the other shoe on, and then lace them both up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I don't know any people that do it individually. Do you?
There aren't people that do that, are there?
I don't know. Are there? Like, okay, so what would be the process here?
Oh, someone does. I just saw the Discord. That's weird. You shouldn't do it that way. It isn't right.
Why not? What's wrong with that? She can do it however she wants to put her shoe on. That's true, she has a right to put shoes on however she wants. As long as they get on the feet and works, whatever. But I'm trying to imagine how it would work, though, because put my shoe on, tie it. It would feel weird to me to have one completed shoe on my foot without the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you not agree? Do you agree with that?
I agree. You know, I'm kind of I don't really wear shoes with laces too much, too.
Because you're from Florida, you just wear sandals everywhere.
Yeah,
or those
work,
weird.
Yeah, when you wear to work, I wear the sandals with the mesh overcoat.
You're such a Florida man.
Yeah. I wear to work.
You're getting shark's teeth. You're wearing the mesh sandals. Oh, God. So funny. I just got a message on my Windows. This is Microsoft needs to fix my Microsoft account, probably because I changed my Microsoft password to John Bugenhagen is God. And doesn't know what that means.
What a mess. You had to create a new account, too.
So tell me about your mesh shoes. Are they slip-ons? All right.
You know those Vans that are just all canvas and they don't have laces?
Yeah. Yeah, I know those. Hello.
Yeah, sorry. Your words are really cutting out hard. They're like those, except they're like the dress shoe version. basically.
I didn't know dress shoe versions of those existed, but all right.
They do. They're the brand is Olukai. They make kick-ass shoes. I love them.
Interesting. Okay. I think this is an interesting topic, and then we'll get into, we'll get into trivia. Being from Florida, there's a lot of things that, like, I take for granted and other people not knowing. For example, your shark's teeth collection. That's just kind of just a thing that people do.
Yeah, you know everybody has
that. Wearing goofy half sandals. Just people do that all the time. Not wearing real shorts, wearing board shorts everywhere. Some people just do that, right?
Yeah, me.
It's like you're always prepared to go to the beach on the drop of a hat, right? It's like I need to go to the beach now.
Like, board shorts, they're expensive. So if you buy a pair, you have to wear that everywhere.
I know. Well, no, you don't. You can just leave them until you need them for the ocean.
They're like $100.
How many pairs of board shorts do you have? They're not $100. How many pairs of board shorts do you have? Like a bunch?
Probably five.
Five, okay. And you like rotate wearing those. And you wash them, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, board shorts are weird because like they're kind of between bathing suit and shorts. You know what I mean? They're like in between. Right?
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Yeah, they're really comfortable.
But you can jump in a pool with them and be like, this is fine, right?
Yeah.
Right?
But you can also put your wallet in them and keys.
They're versatile.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something, though. Do most people... Oh, our listener doesn't know what board shorts are. Board shorts are like... how would you describe board shorts?
People don't know
what they are. Because, see, this is the Florida thing I'm talking about. Like, I just assume everyone knows this, but... You know, how would you describe...
They're shorts made out of bathing suit material, and they have... The pockets are not open. They usually have fasteners on them, so that if you go swimming in them, your pockets don't expand with water and, like, slow you down.
And I think this is an important distinction. They don't have any, like, mesh like the other... Like, you know, like bathing like other bathing suits. Like, they don't have the mesh thing going on. They're just literally shorts that are made out of bathing suit material. Do you remember that one time we were like 12 and we went in the pool at like, I don't know, some pool and you had put in one of your board shorts pockets before we jumped in like a PlayStation 1 memory card?
Yeah, I remember that.
And then you came out of the pool and you're like, oh shit, I forgot to take this out. But then we tried to use it and it still worked.
Yeah, right. Those things are durable. They're like USB drives. You can put them in the washing machine.
That was fun. That was a fun topic. But yeah, this is what I was getting at, though. Our listener, Manasi, asked this question, and I was about to ask this question, too, is when you wear board shorts, do you wear underwear under your board shorts?
Yeah. Or it's not? An embarrassing question, but no.
You don't? You don't?
No.
Do you go to work without underwear on?
I don't wear board shorts to work. I wear regular pants, and because it's inside, it's cool. But if I'm going out like anywhere else, literally, I'm probably wearing board shorts. And
so
I'm
when we
not
were hanging
wearing.
Out and we went to John Wick 3 together, you were just hanging out there.
Yeah, that's right. That's just how I do it, man.
I don't know if like you're really really cool or this is really weird. I'm going to go with cool, though. I respect it. I think it's cool. Because when I wear board shorts, I don't wear underwear. But I don't wear them all the time like you do.
You're not supposed to. It's
no,
not
I
normal to wear underwear.
I agree.
With them.
I agree. This is so funny. Do you want to do our first trivia question?
Let's do it. It's an embarrassing topic. I know it sounds weird, but I promise it's not.
It's all right. A little weird.
You're, I have four trivia questions if you want to
we
do that.
We should have
many
a poll
today.
After the show is over. To like, is it weird to wear board shorts in public without underwear?
It probably is, but I don't care. Like, if I don't know, people shouldn't be thinking about that. It's my stuff. Do what I want.
You have control over it. That's true. Yeah. No, you're not wrong. All right, first trivia. I'm ready.
All right, the topic's baseball. So, what's your lifeline going to be?
I don't know anything about baseball. I'm going to go with Monty Hall.
Okay. The question is, So StatCast is Major League Baseball's data tracking system that started in 2014. Okay. How much data per baseball game is gathered?
How much data per
is it
baseball
a,
game? Okay.
Yeah, is it A, 7 megabytes? Is it B, 7 gigabytes? Uh-huh. Is it C, 7 terabytes? Or is it D, 7 petabytes?
This is good. This is a good question. Megabyte sounds like 7 megabytes sounds low, right? It's like, but it's not that low because you could just, if they only track like, you know, oh, that was the speed of that fastball, you know, and it's just like a string of numbers, like 7 megabytes isn't that low. But at the same time, if they start tracking like a lot of things, then I can see it going up into gigs or terabytes because it's like literally when the wind moves, they're like, oh, that's a data point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to talk about this once you answer because I have thoughts.
Okay. So I'm going to Monty Hall and I'm going to lock in the largest one, petabytes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
So the answer is either C, 7 terabytes or D, 7 petabytes.
Okay. I don't think it's petabytes. I think that's way too crazy. But I can totally see them collecting 7 terabytes of data per game. If they just, like, track every single thing in the world. So, final answer, 7 terabytes.
Terabytes, yeah. That's correct. Congratulations.
Yeah. See, you like me logic better that one?
That's a lot of baseball.
It is a lot of what are they tracking? They must literally be tracking, like, the wind and stuff, you know?
They have a 20,000 frames per second camera that captures like every nanosecond of the baseball as it travels through the air.
Oh, I see.
So that's useful somehow.
A lot of video, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like a lot of video. And it's like really high speed. Well, I don't know. It's like frame rate is really high or whatever. So you can go crazy with it.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It makes me think, though, have you seen or read that book or seen the movie Moneyball with Jonah Hill?
Yeah, I've seen it. Brad Pitt.
Do you know how the idea is that, like, the man is really good at baseball, and he's, like, the number baseball man that uses math to solve baseball?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to get into baseball because of Moneyball?
I have not, but I had a fleeting thought about it after the movie. I was like, baseball could be cool, like the statistics parts of it. But then I was like, oh, wait, I don't like baseball. So this would probably be boring to me. Yeah. But I can already tell that you have tried to get into baseball because of the stat part of it.
I tried to watch baseball this week. I lasted like 10 minutes. It's the worst game.
How did that? It's the worst. Why do you say it's the worst?
It's so boring. Why do people like it?
It is really boring. I played baseball when I was a kid, and I didn't like. It was really boring to play baseball.
Yeah,
because I remember I was a kid and I was bad at baseball. So they're like, "Oh, you're in the outfield," because no balls are hit in the outfield when you're a kid. And so I remember I have a vivid memory of being in the outfield, and I'm so young that no one ever hits the ball that far. So I literally just sit down and I'm like playing with grass for the whole game. You know what I mean? Because I have nothing to do because I'm so bored.
I did the exact same thing, for what it's worth. In my first baseball game ever, I sat down in the outfield and did nothing all game. And I think halfway through, I just walked off the field and was like, we're done here. I've experienced you just baseball. Yeah.
I've experienced it. Yeah, it's a boring game. I don't know. I mean, I think the stat stuff is cool. Like, it's interesting because people got into the stats for baseball to nerd out over the math of, like, a sport. And, like, it's more than any other sport, I feel like. It has all these stats. They invent new terminology for all these stats. And it's cool. It's just I don't find the game interesting enough to dive into it. So,
yeah, the really cool thing about baseball that I think is that I think more than any other sport, individual performance can be more precisely measured other than like stuff like golf. But for a team sport, everyone kind of just plays for themselves because, you know, you're trying to hit the ball every time really
you're
good.
You're trying to hit the ball real good every time.
You're trying to run the bases real good every time.
And when
time.
The ball comes to you, you're trying to catch that ball and throw that ball. And, like, as long as you do your job, your team might suck, but you can statistically track, like, okay, he did the ball thing that he needed to do with that part. You know,
he did it really good.
Like, they have a thing in baseball stats called mistakes. And when I was a kid growing up, I was like, why? How can you qualify a mistake in baseball? Because, like, it's so subjective. But you can because, like you said, every time someone gets the ball, they're supposed to do a very specific thing for, like, the team to work. And if they don't do that, it's a mistake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway. We have our second listener question today from Manasi.
Let's check it out. What is it?
Listener. It is. And thank you again for another listener question. It is, if you could flip a switch and eradicate a band musician off the face of the earth, who would you use it on? That's a good question.
I don't think I would.
You wouldn't kill, you wouldn't eradicate a musician on the off the face of the earth.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. Maybe there's some music you really hate and you, like, don't want it to exist anymore.
I mean, I can just not listen to it, though. Like,
that's fair. That is true. But, you know, some band or musician might have affected the, you know, future of music in a way that you maybe don't want, like, you don't like. And then you're like, okay.
All right, I would eliminate the Black Eyed Peas.
that is a good answer.
Because then...
You stole,
like,
my answer.
That's 500 commercials you could get rid of instantly by eradicating
probably
them.
More than 500 commercials. And so many movie soundtracks that just, like, lose, like, half of their, you know, soundtrack or whatever. And so many weddings DJs that lose, like, half of their, you know, discography.
Yeah, you know, right, I mean, if I could just never hear "Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night" ever again, that would be great.
I think I might agree with you. That's a really good answer. I was trying to think of more something that I didn't like that influenced a lot of music, but honestly, the Black Eyed Peas is pretty good.
Yeah. Now, you see, the problem is, if you kill them, do they get more powerful? Like, because that doesn't erase their existence. That just murders them.
Well, oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think, the question is eradicate, which sounds to me like you're erasing them from the history.
Okay.
But maybe not, maybe not. See, yes.
So she says definitely
erase.
Black Eyed
It's erasing
peas,
from history. You know, because if you killed them, this is so morbid. If you killed the Black Eyed Peas, this is going to sound really rough, but they would become really popular overnight, and people would be like, them back Black Eyed Peas are amazing. Have you listened to their whole back catalog? They had some great deep cuts, the Black Eyed Peas did. Like, they would.
Well, everybody has been at a really important event or something that's close to them where they have played one of their songs. Like, what... Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not the song was good, the event you were at was good.
Yeah.
And you had to hear their song there. So, yeah, they would get really popular.
They would.
Because they're, like, ingrained in culture or whatever.
Well, like, anytime a musician dies in, like, a really unexpected way, they become kind of, you know, it's like this post-mortem popularity boost, you know, that they get. You know,
yeah.
And if the Black Eyed Peas went down in, like, a plane crash, like, all of them, every single Black Eyed Pea, then yes, you would be hearing, like, a lot of "Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night" on the radio. And also, you would hear people, you would see people going through their catalog and listening to songs that they don't normally listen to by them, like some crappy B-sides from some of their albums, you know what I mean? And posting on social media and be like, wow, like, you guys haven't heard this amazing Black Eyed Peas track from 2011, but it's amazing, you know. And people would pretend that they're really into Black Eyed Peas. And, yeah, you would hear a little lot, and it would be awful. So I think killing them is even worse than letting them.
Can you imagine Barnes & Noble would start publishing their Black Eyed Peas secret journal posthumously like they did with Kurt Cobain?
Yes, they would. I'd be like, oh, here's an album they had in the works and it never quite came to fruition. But it would have like a really... It was too dark. And then there'd be like a conspiracy theory about how their record company tried to like, you know, mess with it. And they like went down in a plane crash, like in protest. Or so, I don't know. And it would have a really dark album name. You know what I mean? Like the Dark Eyed Peas.
The Black Eyed Hole. That doesn't sound good.
So stupid. But I agree. I think Black Eyed Peas is a good answer. I'm gutting into some of our previous topics that we didn't hit last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we talked about Death Stranding at all. We didn't talk about E3 at all last week. And E3 happened this week.
Yeah.
Did you watch it? Do you care about video games anymore?
I care. I watched Square Enix because I wanted to see Final Fantasy VII stuff. And then mm-hmm. I also watched the Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm. Because Nintendo's cool.
Yeah.
I find that as I've aged, I've cared less and less about E3 every single year. Because, I don't know, it just seems like a giant advertisement. Which it is, right? But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, yes. It seems like a lot of things these days are just giant advertisements, though.
Yeah, E3 especially, though. I mean, like, there isn't an E3 for books. Like, you don't go to...
No, you don't.
You don't go to Barnes & Noble. They're like, check out the upcoming books of the 2020 season. A sequel to Harry Potter is in development. It really is, too. She's writing more.
Really? Another Harry Potter? Is Harry Potter going to be in it?
I think it's extended universe or something, but...
You know what they should do? For the next Harry Potter, still call it Harry Potter because you got to have the brand name. But Harry Potter is now a dad, okay? Mm-hmm. To, you know, Larry Potter or something.
No, you need a worse name than Harry. Tucker.
Larry? No. Tucker Potter. They're twins, Larry and Tucker Potter.
They're terrible names.
And instead of being... This is the thing. So he has kids with whoever he's with. I don't remember. It's not Hermione. It's the other person. He has children, Larry and Tucker. And they go to wizard school, but they have so much to live up to because their dad is Harry Potter. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, that's a tall order. It's kind of like Colin Hanks, you know, and Tom Hanks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could use that story that's like, you know, one of them does really good in school and kind of outclasses the other brother. And there's this weird rivalry between them that makes the brother that doesn't do as good in school go towards the dark side.
Oh, this
whatever
is
it's good. Called in no, no, Harry Potter no. universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Larry maybe is the goody two-shoes brother. And Tucker, because Tucker sounds more evil, doesn't it? Tucker is like the one that... doesn't do as good in potions class, and he kind of turns to the darker side. And Larry is a what is Harry? Is he a Gryffindor or a Hufflepuff or a Slytherin? I don't remember. He's a Slytherin, right?
Harry is Gryffindor, and he's Slytherin Gryffindor. Is the evil one, right?
Right. So Larry is a Gryffindor,
mm-hmm.
but Tucker is a Slytherin, right? And he gets like kind of swayed by the evil section of the thing. And then Voldemort is in it somehow, even though he's dead. Maybe Voldemort had a son.
Maybe. Oh, no, that's not a good thought. Maybe, like, he's Harry's weird uncle somehow. Like,
Voldemort?
Maybe Harry's wife also gave birth to Voldemort's kid without him knowing. Wouldn't that be...
How would that even... Wait, what? How did that happen?
You need them all to be the same age somehow.
Okay, so Voldemort... Oh, this is... No, this is too dark.
Tell me.
No, it's too dark. I can't. Okay. How does Voldemort have a son that's the same age as Larry Potter? That doesn't make any sense. Do you see what I mean?
Maybe,
like, it doesn't work.
Maybe Voldemort had relations with Snape... and then Voldemort gave birth. They don't say his gender, I don't think.
Oh, maybe he's past gender, right? He's like an entity, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he reproduces asexually.
I mean...
he's like a fish or a jellyfish.
It's like mitosis or something. He just splits in two. That would work. He, like,
hugs Snape, and then they have an offspring together. You know what I mean? But Snape isn't bad either.
He was a little... He was, like, kind of dark, though.
So, anyway, Voldemort somehow has an offspring mm-hmm. with someone else, and that person is adopted by the Weasley family.
Oh, perfect.
Because they don't have enough children, right?
By Ron and Hermione, because they're together. They could adopt. Right.
And they're like, oh, they can't have kids for some reason.
That's perfect. Ron can't have kids.
They're impotent. They can't have children, and they really...
This is such a J.K. Rowling storyline. It's like way too much personal information about characters that you would never want to know.
So they can't have kids. And so they adopt little Voldemort, whatever they call him. I don't know, Moldemort or something. And he goes to school with Larry and Tucker. And Tucker and Voldemort, like, become real close, right?
Yeah.
And they're, like, swayed to the dark side. And then Larry... has to stop them. And it's kind of got like a Star Wars kind of thing going on, right? Because like it's all in the family, you know, yeah. kind of thing, if you will. So it's like a dark side, light side.
Yeah. Kind of and, you know, deal. Tucker's just hanging around with the wrong crowd. I mean, obviously Voldemort has way bigger powers than any normal wizard. Like, he would automatically be the coolest kid in Slytherin.
Yes, he absolutely would. Because he'd look like Voldemort. A little. You know,
yeah.
We'll be like, whoa.
He'd also be really powerful and charismatic.
Yeah. Right. He'd be a born leader, and Tucker would think he's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there you go. That could be the new Harry Potter. I mean, sounds like something J.K. Rowling really would write, though. So.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
But you could still name it Harry Potter. That's the beauty of it, because Harry's still in it. He's just his dad. And maybe, like, in, like, by the third book, Harry's like, fuck this shit. And he, like... He goes back in, like, he abandoned, not abandoned, but he stopped being, like, a war wizard, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this has dragged him back out of the shadows, and, like, he's back.
You could have a Harry is, like, back in badass arc,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
total yeah. fan service.
But, like, in the beginning, he's all like, oh, I'm retired, I settled down, I'm kind of just drinking tea all the time. Yeah. And then by, like, the third book, he's like, no, my son needs me, you know, back. I gotta yeah. smash some heads or whatever, you know what I mean?
You could do it like Dragon Ball Z. Like, at first, Gohan was, I think, supposed to be the main character of Dragon Ball Z, but mm-hmm. Goku is just way cooler in every way, so you could just have Harry just take the series back over halfway through.
Like, the fans are like, wait a minute, what about Goku? And they're like, okay, fine. Goku's the protagonist again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just depends how the books go, how these new Harry Potter
yeah.
books. And you could even name it Larry Potter. Like, it's perfect. Like, you're only moving one letter, and people still know it's a Harry Potter book. You just throw an L on there, you know, and it's Larry Potter and the, you know, Order of the Phoenix. So that's already a thing. Larry Potter and the Severing... I was thinking of the Snape's name. Larry Potter
Harry
and the...
Potter.
Hmm?
Harry Potter and the Radical Fundamentalists.
That's the Slytherin people. Yeah. Are you ready for... I'm ready for my next trivia question.
Okay, trivia number two is about food. What will your lifeline be?
I'll do regular 50-50.
Okay. Which of these is not an alternate name for trail mix, according to Wikipedia?
Okay.
Is it A, Gorp, B, Schmoggle, C, Scroggin, or D, Tibble?
Wait a minute. Which of these is not an alternate name?
Yes, three are.
There's no way. Do it again. Say it again.
Is it A, Gorp, B, Schmoggle, D, Scroggin, or D, Tibble?
Gorp is a real name.
Gorp. It might be.
Scroggin, Scribble, Gorp, and what was the last one?
Tibble and Schmoggle.
This sounds like words that a science fiction author would make of for food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, have you had your Gorp today? And he's like, no, I haven't eaten my Gorp. And he's like, well, Timmy, you should have your Gorp or your Scroggle. They sound like made-up cereal, like for aliens.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my 50-50. But, let me use my 50-50, but first off, I don't think it's Gorp. I don't think it's Scroggle. The last one sounds like it's almost a thing. What was it?
Tibble?
No, that's... I mean, that sounds like a dog food. Tibble. I can... No, these are all real except one. That's the problem. So I had to pick the one that's the most unlikely to be
yes.
a food.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like that's Gorp. Like, Gorp doesn't work. But anyway, 50-50. I don't think it's Gorp. Or I think Gorp is the one that's not, you know.
Really. Okay.
But go ahead.
It is either A, Gorp, or D, Tibble.
Okay. All right. This is good, because Tibble sounds more real than Gorp. Tibble sounds like it could... So Scrabble is an alternate name for Chex Mix or whatever
that's called? Schmoggle. It's Schmoggle and Scroggin. Sorry. Both of those are apparently alternate names. Of course.
Schmoggin. Pass me the Schmoggin. So Tibble sounds like it could be. So I'm going to go with Gorp as the not real one.
Okay. So you're saying that Tibble is an alternate name for trail yes, mix.
That's final, what I'm saying.
Final answer. Yep. Okay, that's wrong. Gorp is actually the real alternate name.
So Tibble is the one you made up?
Yes.
So the one that sounds the most like a real thing is the one that's made up.
Yeah.
Great. So why is Gorp even? Where is that from? Who calls it Gorp?
Yeah. It's It apparently comes from Good Ol' Raisins and Peanuts. It's an acronym that hikers use. I don't know. I'm not a hiker, so I wouldn't hikers know that. Are the
worst. This sounds like an old, like old people in Colorado. You know, they like hike every day, mm-hmm. and they're like, "We need some trail mix, honey." And like, she walks over and she's like, "I got you a good bowl of Gorp," and he's like, "Perfect. Let's go hike the trail." You know what yeah, I mean?
Yeah, I would never call it that. I would just be like, you need, just call it trail mix. Please don't call it Gorp. That sounds like that food they eat in the Matrix when they're on the Nebuchadnezzar. It like comes out of the spout.
and they're like, what is Neo's like, what is this? And they're like, try not to think about it too much or something.
If you close your eyes, it kind of tastes like eggs.
And it looks kind of like really disgusting grits
yeah.
in a way. You know, it's like sloopy. It does sound like the Matrix thing. Okay. Well, what else do we have to talk about today? See, I didn't do any preparation for the show, so I screwed up everything.
Well, before the show today, we were talking about how Nintendo lost $1 billion.
Oh, yeah. The Animal Crossing thing.
Is it Animal Crossing? The narrative that I've seen on Twitter is that Nintendo announced that Animal Crossing is going to be delayed. Because yes.
So it was originally scheduled yeah. for this year, but they didn't have a solid date. And now they're saying it's not going to be till March of next year.
Okay.
That's the story. The official story.
And I think that they said the reason was because they didn't want to force their workers to go through a crunch time and like work an unhealthy amount to get things done.
Which is a very reasonable thing, I feel like, to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't you think like that's reasonable?
I think that's reasonable. I mean, it's like every other industry does that.
Yeah. So apparently their stock or something went down. Is that the story you read?
Yeah, it went down a lot. And people are saying it's because of the delay plus the announcement. And I just think that's so, that can't be really it, can it?
Why? I mean, why do you think it's not it?
$1 billion is a lot of money. Like,
it is a lot of money.
And Animal Crossing is not worth that much as a game. Like, I love Animal Crossing, but $1 billion is like the Avengers. That's a big thing.
Maybe it was a combination of things, you know.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I think of. Like, it's like they didn't like what they saw at E3, and they're like, well, we'll just blame it on Animal Crossing, but it's actually a bunch of different things.
You know yeah.
what I
mean? That's what I was thinking.
I don't know. The stock market is so stupid with stuff like that. Like, investors get cold feet. Like, and then just like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. The other thing I saw was at E3, a lot of people were talking about streaming services for games, and Nintendo didn't have anything with streaming, so that's why some people were like, oh, no streaming. That's bad.
What, streaming services, what do you mean?
I'm going to sell. Yeah. Like, game streaming, like, you... like Netflix for games, I guess you could say.
Oh, you like rent a game and play it on like cloud architecture or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of other competitors had that. Nintendo didn't. So I saw a word that investors were like, they're not following the weird trend. So let's sell our stock. You know what I mean? Let's sell off our stocks. So.
Yeah, that might be it.
I mean, that's just how these things go, though. But yeah, E3 happened, and it was okay. I'm not excited, not super interested in it this year, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I thought Nintendo's was, I mean, outside of Animal Crossing, it wasn't that exciting. They obviously announced two Zelda games, Breath of the Wild 2 and A Link to the Past, was it? Link's Awakening?
It's the remake to Link's Awakening, and they both look really good, so there's that. Shifting gears here, I have... a really good would you rather question that we didn't do last episode.
Okay, let's do it.
Get your thoughts on it. Okay, so I'm kind of having to interpret this one, which is okay. And I'll tell you my interpretation after I ask you. So the question comes from the would you rather bot, you know, our favorite little Twitter bot. And it is, would you rather have hands or have a finger? Now, the way I'm interpreting this question to be... is would you rather have hands with no fingers?
Okay.
Or one finger that's not on a hand. It's just kind of coming out of your arm.
But it's you can articulate it and grab things with it, right?
Correct. 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 So basically you've got like scoopers, right?
Or the blocks is like Final Fantasy hands.
Yes. You got, like, scoopers, or you got, like, one really long, like, finger coming out of your arm that you can, like, move. You can, like, use it as, like, kind of a thumb almost, but not, I don't know, it's, like, it's useful somehow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, if that was the only finger you used to grab and lift things, it would be a pretty strong finger.
Oh,
it would
be very strong, yeah. It would be very strong.
I don't know.
Or you could have scoopers. Now, if you only had hands, they'd be like penguin hands, right? You know, and they'd just be like flippers. They'd be like flippers, essentially. You could like pick things up, right?
Yeah.
And like move stuff around. But you don't have any like dexterity control, right? You can't like you couldn't type on a keyboard really. You know, you couldn't like
you couldn't use a smartphone or any
telephone,
any electronic device. You couldn't do anything
that required fine precision. But if you had, like, a really long finger, you could totally do that.
Yeah, you could not drive with two not arms, but you could drive with one finger.
I don't think you could drive with a long finger.
I bet you I can drive with one finger and my feet. I can do it. And I drive manual. I could totally pull that off.
You've driven with one finger before?
All you have to do is put your finger on the steering wheel. It's not hard. And press the gas.
What finger are you using when you drive?
Index. You could do that. It's easy.
Right index.
Yeah.
Right? Do you hook it on, like, the bottom of the wheel?
On the top.
You hook even it on drive, the top of the wheel.
You could even drive with your knees. It's not, like...
I mean, I know. I'm just trying to imagine how to drive with my finger. Like, it sounds difficult. But I guess you could do it. So you have this really long, grotesque finger.
Yes.
That you could drive with. Yeah. I'm imagining this finger's kind of crookedy. You know, it's kind of body horror looking finger, you know. It's really now, long. Now,
does the finger come direct, like, all the way out of the arm socket and is, like, 3 feet long out of there? Or does it come out of the wrist? Like...
So I think if it came out of the arm socket, it would be less creepy, because then it would just look like a really skinny arm.
Oh, but it wouldn't look right.
But, I mean, I'm imagining it's coming out of your wrist, and it's just as long as, like, your whole hand would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it has the mobility of, like, a normal finger, right? Like, it's got the triple... the triple action.
Yeah.
Kind of deal, right? It's got the joints.
On, you know, on the one finger model, is the other arm completely chopped off?
Yeah, I would imagine it's a stub.
Okay.
But you could use the stub as like a holder. You know what I mean? Like you could use it as like a, I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Like you can use the stub as like a device.
You can open doors or.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I think I would choose the finger.
I knew you would choose the finger.
You would choose the long finger.
Yeah.
You could still play video games.
I mean, yeah, kinda. You'd have to like basically do it one-handed, but you'd have one finger to play games.
But you could do it theoretically. You could still type on the computer. You could use your phone. With flippers, you wouldn't be able to do that at all.
You could still swim.
The flippers?
Yeah.
With the finger, you wouldn't be able to. I mean, yeah. I guess you could. You could backstroke. No.
With your one finger? No, you couldn't.
I'm just imagining the finger is like really, really long. Like it's so long that it like has some like you can like you can like make gestures in the water that propel you forward somehow. I don't even
know. You can use it as like a boat pole and push off the bottom, maybe.
The finger sounds very utility, doesn't it? Like it sounds like you could do a lot with the finger. You know, so many things. And the cool thing about the finger is, you know, normal people have fingers, obviously, but they're limited in what they can do. The long finger, I feel like, has even more functionality than a typical finger because it's so long.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know how I mean, you wouldn't do this, but you know how anteaters can stick their long tongue in the ant hole? Yes. You could do that with your finger.
Why would you want to do that?
You could survive on ants. If you wanted.
Could become an anteater.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to. I'm trying to think of good uses for your really long finger. You could use it as a pointer, right? So you're like giving a presentation, you know, to corporate. And you're like.
At everyone here. For sure.
For sure what?
Sorry, your voice is like cutting out a lot again.
Sorry, what did you say?
I was going to say sure like. What? Yeah, everyone would for sure pay attention to a really long finger. It would be way more effective at keeping audience attention than a laser pointer.
No, I agree. I think it's a good idea. Like, you'd be able to, like, show presentation with your giant finger. Anyway, I think I'd choose the giant finger, too, because it sounds the most fun, honestly. So, anyway. Do you want to do our last one? Last trivia?
Yes.
I'm so happy that you had these prepared.
The last trivia question is about geography. I'm just
kidding. Okay. I'm going to use 5 second Google.
Okay. Which is the tallest Ferris wheel in Canada?
What? What kind of a question is this?
I don't know
any Ferris wheels in Canada. Much less the tallest one.
It is either the A, the Mount Olympia Ferris Wheel in Vancouver.
Okay.
Is it B, Arctic Thunder in Toronto?
Okay.
Is it C, Madame Bovary Ferris Wheel in Quebec?
Okay.
Or is it D, the Grande Rue de Montreal in Montreal?
The Grande Rue de Montreal. Mm-hmm. That sounds the coolest. Or Arctic Thunder sounds pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
Arctic Thunder sounds like one of those, like, 90s arcade games. Actually, that might have actually been a game.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a bad fighting game that only exists in arcades. I know what you're talking about.
Well, no, I was thinking about the boat game. Do you remember the boat game?
Is it like a ticket winner game?
No, okay, so there's this boat arcade game, and you're like, it's a racing boat, and it's like called like Arctic Thunder or Tropic Thunder or something like that, and you're like racing on a boat, and you're going like really fast, okay, and it's
like, I just saw a picture purple, of it in our Discord. That's like, I've totally seen that.
What? What? Oh, was it someone did she put?
Yeah.
Is it called Arctic Thunder?
I think it is.
No, no, that's not it. Multitracks Newston. No, it's not. That's not it. That's like a. That looks like a snowmobile game. Thunder Racing Game Arcade. This is gonna bother me like for the rest of the day if I don't find out right now. Hydro Thunder. That's what it's called.
That was the. What was those? Were those boats or Sea-Doos?
I don't know. Maybe they were Sea-Doos. It was like a boat-like device.
Okay.
What the hell was it called? Anyways.
Whatever.
Anyway, so I'm going to use my 5-second Google and tallest... What is it? Tallest...
tallest Ferris wheel in Canada.
Ferris wheel in Canada. You know what? Ferris wheel's the one... This is going to sound really stupid. Ferris wheel's the one that goes, like, around, right?
Yeah, it's like a circle.
Okay. I always get them confused with the other thing that goes around, but it goes around on, like, the different axis. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the spinner. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The spinner one. The carousel. Yeah.
Where you ride horses and bears.
I don't go to like these places. I don't know what they're called. So Ferris wheel's the spinny one in the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tallest Ferris wheel in Canada. I'm ready whenever you're ready.
All right. So 3, 2, 1, Google.
Tallest Ferris wheel Canada.
3, 2, 1. And your time's up.
This doesn't help me at all. Am I allowed to scroll on this page?
Yeah, sure. As long as you don't click any links.
Not clicking anything. Thanks. This is great. Like, okay, first link is introducing Canada's largest Ferris wheel. And it doesn't say the name.
If only you knew.
And, what it's and then Wikipedia said, then the next link is Wikipedia, list of Ferris wheels. And it's just like, thanks, that's great. And then this is my favorite. There's 3 separate YouTube videos that their names are Canada's tallest Ferris wheel! Exclamation mark. Biggest Ferris wheel in Canada and largest Ferris wheel in Canada. None of them have the name of the Ferris wheel. They're just like, that's the title.
Isn't it? Does it show a picture of them though? Can you kind of infer based on the picture what the theme of the Ferris wheel might be?
It just looks like a Ferris
wheel. There's, okay, well, there's not like Arctic spikes on the side.
It's just a circle. It's got Ferris wheel stuff going on. I don't know. No, there's no iceberg behind it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to infer it's not the Arctic Thunder Ferris wheel. Hold on. I'm still scrolling, though. Oh, this is... No, that's not even... Oh, God. It's weird that this is so hard to Google. Canada's largest Ferris wheel to open in July. Doesn't tell me the name of it. Montreal to open Canada's tallest observation wheel.
Okay.
Wasn't there one that said Montreal?
Yeah, the Grand Rue de Montreal.
Okay, so that is my best clue. And that was the most Canadian sounding of all the Ferris wheels because it had a French name.
Madame Bovary was also French.
Yeah, I don't care about Madame Bovary. That sounds... I think that's like a wax museum or something. That's Madame Tussauds, isn't it?
It's not quite a Ferris wheel name. It's more of like a...
What is Madame Bovary? That's a thing, though, right? What is that?
Is Grand Rue de Montreal your final answer? I'll tell you what it is.
I'm sorry. Yes, yes. Grand Rue de Montreal is my final answer.
You're correct. Madame Bovary is a novel from the 1970s that I read. It's the only French book I know off the top of my head.
I feel like so stupid right now. I feel very ignorant of how everything works. Oh, yeah. God.
I've read like one French book, and that's the one. I picked that because it's Canada has some French things.
I got it confused with Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. Oh, God. But I got it right, right?
Yeah,
I'm right.
Yeah,
like
you
it's
got
Montreal,
it right.
The Grand Budapest Hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
The fuck is called? All right. So I'm three for three. Am I 3 for 3?
I think you got the trail mix wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I did. I got the fucking Garbo wrong.
Garbo.
What is it again? Gorb? Gorf?
Gorp.
Gorb. It sounds like a fish. I'm going to get some gorp today. I got a big mouth gorp on the line right now.
It sounds like something Swedish people eat. Like, yeah, I'll have the scrag. That's scrag what the, that's pan what the and gorp.
You know Swedish fish? You know Swedish fish, the candy?
Yeah.
They're actually called gorp in Sweden.
I would believe that.
It's like, pass me the gorp? That was a bad Swedish accent. Oh, God. All right. I don't even know what we're doing in the rest of this episode. We have like 10 minutes left, and I just kind of want to call it right now.
Yeah. Let's do one. I have one more trivia, and then we can call it if you want. Yeah.
For four? You have four trivia?
I had a leftover one.
All right. Because do the gorp. Sorry, I'm reading our chat right now. It's really funny. Oh, God. Swedish soup. Oh, God. All right.
Ready for your final trivia question?
We have four trivia. We have to name this episode, like, the quadruple trivia challenge or something. I don't know.
I'm cool with that.
No, let's not name it that. Let's name it Madame Bovary. Madame Pleased.
The Madame Bovary Ferris Wheel. There's your episode name.
All right, give me the last one.
Worst Ferris wheel name.
Madame Bovary's Observation Emporium. It's what our listeners live on. Thank you for that. Thank you. All right, last one.
All right, you're not going to get a lifeline. You're just going to have to work through this.
That's fine. I'm going all out. I'm in for this one.
All right. What was the first man-made object to leave the proximity of the major planets of the solar system?
Oh.
And this
is a space question.
Yes, this happened today in history in 1983.
Okay. Leave the solar system, right?
Yeah, first man-made object. Okay. Right. Is it A, Pioneer 10? Okay. Is it B, Voyager 1? Mm-hmm. Is it C, Voyager 2? Or is it D, Enterprise NCC 1701?
Our listener knows the answer to this one. I know it's not Enterprise NCC 1701 because that's Star Trek.
It might not be. They might have named it after that.
It's definitely Star Trek. I think it's Voyager. Pioneer is real too. Those are all real things. Pioneer 1, Voyager 1, or Voyager 2.
Pioneer 10.
Pioneer 10, Voyager 1 or Voyager 2, right?
Yes, or Enterprise 1701. It's not
Enterprise. God, the problem is I know each of these individually, but I don't actually know which one was first. And this is 1983, right?
Yes. That's when it left the solar system.
I think Voyager 2 was the one we wrote all that shit on for the aliens to see. And I think that was supposed to leave the solar system.
You know what I'm talking about? That was Carl Sagan that wrote all that shit on there. Like, I love him for doing that.
I know. Yeah, no, I know. I feel like that was Voyager 2. I don't know if it was or not. I have, like, a strong inkling that it was Voyager 2. Pioneer 10, I think, was earlier. And I don't think it left the solar system. But maybe it did. Anyway, my gut is Voyager 2. I bet it's going to be Voyager 1. I'm going to kick myself. But it's fine. I'm going to go with Voyager 2, final answer.
The correct answer is actually Pioneer 10.
Damn it! It is Pioneer 10. So what was Pioneer 10? Which one was that?
I don't know. I don't actually know. I know that Voyagers have passed Pioneer since, because they're going faster. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. The Voyager probes have passed, because their whole shtick was to explore more, like, outside of the solar system.
Yeah, so Pioneer made it, well, crossed the finish line first, but Voyager 1 and 2 have since passed Pioneer 10. I think that's how it works.
This is making me feel better, because Manasi got this wrong, too. So, we both got it wrong. What did you think it was? Type in the comments. Did you think it was Voyager 2? Or did you think it was Voyager 1?
Me? Yeah,
she thought it was Voyager 1. I thought it was Voyager 2. We were both wrong. It was Pioneer 10.
Yeah.
There you go. What sucks?
All right. Do you want to call it an episode?
Oh, yeah. I want to call it
an
episode. That was a great episode. I don't even know what we did for an hour and 8 minutes, but we did something. Who's our sponsor today, Bat Snacks?
Our sponsor today is Madame Bovary's Observation Emporium. Thank you, Madame Bovary.
When you need to have things observed, in a very delicate way, choose Madame Potpourri. Remember, when you're feeling kind of down,
don't check out any clowns.
Oh, very good advice. Good night, everyone. Drive safely. We love you. Bye.